Mr. Spears, I want to go back to something a philosophy major can understand. Let's go back to the beginning of the argument, which was the question of the indefiniteness issue. Let's assume hypothetically that for whatever reason, whether it's because we conclude there are material issues of fact that should not have been decided on summary judgment, or we disagree with the claim, or whatever reasons, we send the case back. What should we then do about the indefiniteness issue? For example, candidly, I'm troubled by our indefiniteness law because the statute requires that that claims be clearly, I don't have the exact words in front of me, but clearly indefinitely described, right? But then we turn around and we say, we have not insisted that claims be plain on their face in order to avoid condemnation for indefiniteness. Rather, what we have asked is that the claims be amenable to construction, however difficult that task may be. If a claim is insolubly ambiguous and no narrowing construction can properly be adopted, we have held the claim indefinite. That strikes me as as not consistent with the statutory requirement that claims be definitely, that the invention be definitely claimed. If we should send this back for further trial, would you agree that we need to be a little more consistent with the statute, require something more for definiteness than simply that the claim has to be absolutely incomprehensible before it can be held to be indefinite? Or do you like the current standard? And related to that, in your brief, you ask us to, if nothing else, at least narrow the claim so that it can be upheld as definite. Could we narrow it by saying, you wrote it, you establish why it's definite, instead of having it the other way around?
Okay.
Okay?
Your first question first. The portion of law that you just read is actually informed by the patent statute, not by Section 112, but by the statutory presumption of validity. The statutory presumption of validity is why this court basically bends over backwards and only finds indefiniteness as kind of a last resort if there's no reasonable construction available to
it. But you appreciate that that's purely circular. That is to say, the statutory requirement that something, that a patent be presumed valid, doesn't mean that an invalid claim should be upheld as valid just because we think it can't be shown otherwise.
What I read that case law as is essentially this court trying to grapple with that there's a statutory presumption of validity that applies to a question of law. So, like, what does that mean? It's a question of law, yet there's a presumption of validity. So the way the court has resolved that tension is to say, well, this means we're going to do our best to try to construe this language, and only if we can't will we say that the presumption is rebutted and invalidate the
patent. What do you think of that?
I think that's a perfectly reasonable approach. Now, that sort of ties into the second question that you raised regarding what we propose by way of an appropriate limiting construction in this case. Specifically, we indicated that rather than hold this patent invalid, there is certainly adequate disclosure of the structural requirements of the generally preferred linkage group, and the patent could be construed accordingly. One way of getting there is obviously to disregard what the applicants told the patent office and to construe this as a 112.6 limitation. If you do it that way, you get to the result we mentioned in our brief.
But isn't our precedent, if it's ambiguous with respect to indefiniteness, is it not at least clear that we don't rewrite claims to preserve validity?
Well, what Judge Plager just read is language that appears in at least a half dozen of these court's cases. Now, this court has never taken the next step and said, oh, in this case in front of us, here's what we said the law is, and applying this law, we are going to arrive at this construction to save the validity of this patent. The court has never done this. If the court does it in this case, it would probably be the first time that it has.
I mean, generally, we conclude that there's more than one interpretation that would be valid, and then in deciding which of those two perhaps conflicting interpretations is the appropriate one, we look to the one that preserves validity.
Yeah.
But are you concerned?